So much glory in this room right now. So much anointing. So much presence. Yeah, but I don't see it. Yeah. I don't feel it. Yeah. Don't let what you feel and what you don't see determine what's true and what's not.
Amen.
Come on. Open the eyes of your heart. Just the very fact that your cellular process is working right now is a testament to the glory of our Father.
Yes.
Go out tonight and look, stand under a blanket of stars and see the glory of our Lord.
Yes.
All of heaven is roaring His name right now. He's so faithful, He's so true, and He loves you so much. Love what Todd White said. If you could hold up a daisy and you were referring to God, it'd be, He loves me. 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 And you are the apple of His eye. Come on, it's not just me. It's not just the minister. It's not just the preacher. We got to get beyond that stuff. That's just twisted. You are the apple of His eye. Spill blood for you. Spill blood for me. Amen. Well, if you stumbled across us today and you're a visitor, we welcome you. And we hope that we can serve you and love you. Amen. We appreciate you being here this morning. But more importantly, I just pray that you encounter His love today. Encounter His presence. Just enjoy Him today, okay? It's not about the name over a door. It's about us being the body of Christ. Just enjoy Him today. Is it okay to enjoy the Lord? Is it okay to laugh? Is it okay to have fun in church? Do we have to go out looking like we squeezed lemons today? Or can I pray last night you guys will walk out of here with a smile on your face and laughter in your belly. Not because I said something funny, but because of the intoxicating joy of the Lord. And I can be funny at times. Maybe not as funny as Eric. I'm good in conversation, but just trying to tell a joke, I'm not very good at it. Speaking of which, several men are in a locker room of a golf club. A cell phone on a bench rings and a man engages his hands-free speaker function and begins to talk. Everyone else in the room stops to listen. Man, hello. Woman, honey, it's me. Are you at the club? Man, yes. Woman, I'm at the mall now and I found this beautiful leather coat. It's only $1,000. Is it okay if I buy it? Manny, let's not get any ideas back there, sweetheart. Man, sure, go ahead if you like it that much. Woman, I stopped by the Mercedes dealership and saw the new 2015 models. I saw one I really liked. How much? $90,000. Okay, but for that price, I want it with all options. Woman, great. Oh, and one more thing. The house I wanted last year is back on the market. They're asking $950,000. Man, well, go ahead and give them an offer of $900,000. They will probably take it. If not, we can go the extra $50,000. It is really a pretty good price. Woman, okay. I'll see you later. Love you so much. Man, bye. I love you too. The man hangs up. The other men in the locker room are staring at him. Astonishment, mouths agape. Then he smiles and asks, anyone who know who this phone belongs to? There you go, the perfect man. We have a perfect man in Jesus, right? Yeah. I like that one. Turn to Colossians with me. We're going to read several scriptures this morning. We'll just see where God takes us. How about that, okay? I like being led by Holy Spirit. He pulls things out sometimes that I didn't even study for or prepare for. He's good. He's so good. If you could just taste and see how good He is, you'll never want to go back. Right? It's like the Lay's potato chips? You can't eat just one, right? He's so good. You walk in here today and you're depressed or you're stressed or you're frustrated. You got things eating your lunch. You got family issues. You got problems. You got your body's a little broken. Come in here and you're just mad at things, mad at the world, full of bitterness, full of anger. You come to the right place. Not because you're hearing me for crying out loud, but because I'm going to introduce you to somebody. His name is Jesus. He loves you. He loves you profusely. He's the answer. Stirred up in my spirit last night, we're going to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. It's in Him that we preach. See, sometimes we're waiting on God to move. He did 2,000 years ago. Come on, let that sink. Jesus come in the likeness of man, not finding it robbery, being equal with God, made Himself into a bondservant, a free slave on your and I's behalf. And through that we can get healing, and through that we get restoration, and we've been redeemed. See, what I see is a lot of people in the body, they don't know who they are. Because they don't know who they are. They don't know what can live outside of them or through them. So hopefully we can establish a principle today. You know, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. It's easy to feel pressured. Hey, I feel pressure. I feel pressure when I stand up here. You know what I'm saying? It's not me. It's not my heart. I want to represent Christ. I want to give you the word that God has for you. But to sit there and think that there's expectations on a preacher. There's expectations to bring it, to make you laugh, to make you cry, to get you riled up, to get a strong amen. All those things, and all that junk and all that garbage tries to enter into my heart. Standing up there singing songs, you want to hit the note, you want to sing the right words. And we put all this pressure on ourselves, and that's why we need to rest in Him. See, I can read this word and you should walk away here full. Because it's His word anyway. If you hear my opinion and you trust in it, then you got some issues. But if you hear truth, it can set you free. Amen? Let's go. I don't know where we're going to go. Well, you got to tell us. Let's start in verse 9. I'm going to read a lot just because I believe it needs to be done, okay? It says, verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." I pray that over you guys. "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering, with joy given thanks to the Father, who has qualified us," this is good, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." You are partakers in the inheritance. You are partakers in the inheritance. Last week you learned that you are partakers in the divine nature of God. If you only could see the royalty that's flowing through you. Yet when we look in the mirror, who do we see? "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him," say in Him,
"amen,
all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell." Let me read that one again. I like it, okay? If you're not going to hear it, I'm going to hear it for myself, okay? "For it pleased the Father," it brought pleasure to our God, "that in Him, Jesus, all fullness should dwell. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who once were, if you're in Christ today, you are reconciled to the Father." Amen? You were, where was that, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. How many times do we tuck our tail every time we go before him? Do we make mistakes? Do we blow it? Am I the only one here? Thank you. I was feeling a little bit awkward. I am holy because of the blood. I am blameless because of the blood. Oh, I used to. I'd mess up. Boy, sometimes I would weep and I cry. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with being broken over a bad decision. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is for I go for weeks just beating myself up, trying to pay my own penance when Jesus had already paid it for me. And immediately I become self-inward because of my sin and my struggle. And I had nothing to offer. Because I'm so wrapped up in trying to get forgiveness and trying to squeeze it out of God. When He already forgiven me 2,000 years ago. I like it. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from what? The hope of the gospel. The gospel's good news. If you're ready for me to call you a worm this morning, you're wrong. You've been reconciled to the Father. You're a son. You're a daughter. You just may not see it yet. And we have a ministry here at Bridge of Hope of reconciliation to let you see what God sees about you. Which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. For the sake of brevity, let's go on to chapter 2. Because you're like, I could have stayed home and read Colossians myself. Well, good. Go home. Do it. All right? We got to establish this, though. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you. This is verse 1, I'm sorry. And those in Laodicea, and for as many, and it might be pronounced different, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the fullness, a full assurance of understanding. Guys, this is so good. To the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom all hidden, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you're in Christ, treasures, wisdom are at your access. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of man. Boy, that's rampant, isn't it? According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. For in Him, listen to this one. This doesn't jazz you up, I don't know. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Boom shakalaka. Now what's the next word say? And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. In Him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are in Him. So what does that make you? Come on. We've been sinners saved by grace, brother. That's what I heard growing up. You're sinners saved by grace. And I just kept sinning. I kept sinning. I kept sinning. But I was saved by grace. Was there forgiveness? Yes. Was there mercy? Yes. Was there a lack of understanding on my part? Oh, yeah. Because see, I'm convinced of this. It's not so much what I've turned away. It's who I'm turning to. But that saint, not waking up anymore thinking about, I'm not going to try to do this today, and then I do it and cry and weep and wail. Oh, I blew it again, God. I'm just useless. I'm a pitiful Christian. Why do I even try? And I get into works, and I get into striving, and I get into stress, and I keep living my life like this, keep lowering myself, not looking at myself with a God esteem, but with a self-esteem. And I just look at myself in the mirror, and I see failure, and I see failure, and I see failure each and every day. And it began to potter me. It began to fashion me. It began to form something inside of me that was never of Christ. I should see the Godhead. I should see the image of my Lord. You see, when you get turned on to a righteousness consciousness, you're not thinking sin no more. Because when we become who we're conformed to be like, then you don't want to do that stuff anymore. Because you realize the destructive path that it is. It's not about God just saying, don't watch a movie. It's about me manifesting His image in the earth. It's so above that. I'm not telling you that grace is a license to sin. No. Don't get it twisted. But it's an empowerment so we can walk just like Jesus walked. Because we are in Him. That's who you are. You may not believe it. Why? Because we let life become our teacher. We let the way that seems right into man become our teacher. We let things that are spoken to us over time. We let the loved ones of our life say things that stick to us, and they stick for a really, really long time, and we begin to believe that stuff. We walk around thinking that we're going to live out the lies of our fathers and our mothers and our families. But you've been redeemed from that curse. Come on, truth. Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus. And Jesus came to set us free. Not just free, but free, punctuated, indeed. Are you a free man this morning? Are you a free woman? Yes, you are. Are you walking in it? I don't know. Come on. This is who you are. Colossians chapter 3. It's just... take a book walk, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you what, put your thumb there. Let's go. Let's just. Now, I know things that I say today could rile you up, and I'm not trying to get a strong, hearty amen out of you. Okay.
Amen.
Thank you. Didn't even have to try. See, that's how good it is resting with the Lord. That we quit striving and things just happen. Right? Oh my. I'm going to chase that one for a minute. I'm going to tell them myself. I'll just tell them myself, and you guys can just take it at what it's worth. Striving, pressure, overwhelmed feelings, desire to do ministry. That was my heart. A little narcissistic thinking that I was going to save the world. You know what I'm saying? Ministry became about me and my pursuit and my passion and climbing up the ecclesiastical ladder. So you get around men of God, and I really wasn't manipulative, but I was trying to worm my way next to their side. I didn't understand what an armor bearer carrier was until I started coming to Hope Harbor, but I was always next to the guy, right? Because we got to get next to the anointed man. Correct? We got to strive. Because in America, right, you chase the American dream. If you have to step on people, you step on people. If you have to manipulate, you manipulate. And it happens in the church. People will claw and scratch to get somebody to pray for them. And the whole time, the fullness of God is in them. The fullness of God is in the person sitting next to you. If there ain't Him. Yet we want to get to the man. See, I put all that pressure on myself. And God's teaching me rest. Hebrews 4, and I read it last night, says that we should be diligent to enter into His rest. If you're going to labor to get into His rest. You know, the struggle for me this week is that the pressures that kept trying to come in me is standing my ground to say, that is not my heart, Father. Any inkling of this becoming about me I get my just reward today. But when I'm unselfish and it's about you, God will move. Flow through me. I said last night, like a little teapot. He just turns me over and I'm poured out like a drink offering. Because there's nothing I have for you, but I know the person who's in me. I love it when Peter says, silver and gold I have none, but I give you what I have. So secure in what he had. Right? And we do that. We may not do it in the church, but we may do it on the job place, trying to get that promotion, sending our resume, telling people our spiritual resume, telling people, going around telling people all that we've done so we can get an attaboy or a pat on the back. When the whole time God's calling you to a place, or take a big deep breath right now. Let all the silliness go. Shake it off. I'm not going to start singing Taylor Swift, don't worry. I would exit if I was you guys right now if I did that. But there's some truth in that, right? Let's not take ourselves so serious. How much did the people have to strive when all they had to do was walk around the walls of Jericho? What a military strategy. It was shooting fish in a barrel. No, they had to train up, man, for 6 to 10 months, you know. No, they just heard the word of the Lord and followed it. I'm not saying we're void of responsibility. God gives you a word, just rest in it. He tells you to do it, do it. It would be awkward if God said, all right, take the church, we're going to walk around Bridge of Hope today. You know? Be even more awkward if he said, do the Congo line when you're going around. You know, that would really... I'm not saying God's telling me to do that, but what if... And then an awakening just exploded in this county. Would be willing to do it? Or should I go to every church leader, church growth seminar for the next 15 years? Or should I follow my Father? Amen? I'm just telling on myself this day. You see, a lot of times we think that that's who we become. No, you've got fiery darts coming from the enemy trying to get you to think the way you used to think. And then you also have a selfish desire that's inside of you that you have to put away. Why? Because you're his sheep and you know his voice. You know what's him and what's not. Don't look for the big audible voice. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. I don't know. Some people said. There's graces out there. You know inside of you. Right? Listen to this. Listen to what Jesus prayed. He prayed for disciples. Now he says this in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Is that you this morning? Huh? Is that you? You qualify? There's no asterisks here. John 17, verse 20. Huh? I'm sorry. I get excited. Verse 21. Are we in Him? Are we in Him? Yeah. Does that mean we got to have a Holy Ghost goose pump all the time? Nope. Does that mean we got to run through the streets? Huh? We're in Him. Take a deep breath and rest in that. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. We're united in such a strong, intimate way with our Father in Jesus, Holy Spirit, in the fullness of them. Listen to this. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. I have the glory, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you talk like that? Huh? Because I think we're looking for a certain manifestation. Why don't you just believe His Word? If it manifests, then praise God. Right? That they may be one just as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. See, I believe growing up that I was a sinner and that I need to say a prayer so I can go to heaven. And now that I've grown up, I realize that Jesus died for me so He can get heaven into me. Do I go to heaven? Yes. Different perspective. Because I have the fullness. I am one with them. Do you talk like that? Come on. You speak what the Word of God says over you. This has just been in my heart all week that I'm supposed to speak over you what God says about you. Colossians chapter 3, we'll go back. See, the kingdom of God is at hand because you're looking at it. Kingdom of God is about righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's in me, guys. And if I could hold up a mirror right now, I'd say, you want to see the kingdom of God? Because it's at hand. See, this drives purpose in life. That we realize that we're just not skating through. We're not floating through life. That we actually are part of the divinity. Some people will get just roaring mad about statements like that. But I'm reading plenty of Scripture today. Listen to this, Colossians 3:1. And I do suggest you read this whole book. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which or where Christ is, seating at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. We've got our eyes looking in the wrong direction. When I was in those pursuits, my eyes were focused in tunnel vision and trying to get a position, trying to get a title, trying to get all into that stuff. And God in His rich mercy kept me out of that place and has led me to where I am today. Because I want my eyes to be. I want to be heavenly good so I can be earthly good. Heavenly minded so I can be earthly good. Right? I've been seated with Him. I have resurrection life in me. Maybe if we grasp these things, maybe we would work and joy a little bit more. Maybe we wouldn't be so stressed out all the time. Maybe we could smile a little bit more. That would start changing the work environment. We're so waiting on something big and magic. Let's just smile and love. That in itself is foreign to the world nowadays. We get inconvenienced just a little bit. It just ruins us. It takes all this truth that we know what God says about us and it just goes away. It doesn't change about you, but it's just your focus just simply shifts. And I love to use Peter walking on water. They see Jesus, they get afraid. Jesus, oh, it's Jesus. And Peter, hey, can I come out there? And this is my paraphrase, okay? Just go with me. Give me grace, okay? I'm not adding to anything. All right, so Jesus says, come. Because He had a word. Because I've tried to walk on water and it didn't work. My body is more dense than water, okay? So I went to the bottom. Okay. So he had a word. I didn't. I just thought, hey, Peter did it. I can do it too. Okay? So, to the bottom I went. All right. Jesus, come. So he sticks that leg out there of that boat. I can't even imagine. I don't know. I don't know how big the boats were back then. I hadn't really studied it. Right? So he gets out and he starts walking, defies the laws of physics, right? Right? And he kept his eyes focused on the Master. He wasn't sitting there drumming it up, trying to drum up his faith and all that. He wasn't sitting there just, oh gosh. Gosh, I could do all. He wouldn't say, "I could do all things through you, Jesus. Strength me. I could do all things." And trying to drum up faith and squeezing and pressuring himself, he just simply heard a word, stepped out of the boat, and started doing something supernatural. And immediately he shifted his eyes. And what happened? He sunk. So I think it's more than just water, though. I think it's circumstances of life. Because he said he saw the winds. Right? And that's what we do. If you're not careful, that stuff will cut in on you and everything you believe and everything you've been taught and everything He's pouring into you, and you'll look yourself that way and immediately peace and joy is absent. Now you're in peril saying, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Does He? Yeah, because He's that good. Amen. I walked on water one time that was frozen. And me being young and dumb, right? Marion told me, "You need to put on those chest waders," because we was going out checking wood duck boxes where I live. And I was like, "No, I've walked on these ice before." So I put on the hip waders, right? So I'm walking, and then I hear this cracking noise. You guys are laughing like you know the rest of the story, huh? It's like the time I tried to take a shirt off. I had two on. I wasn't just going top, you know, without my shirt. I had two shirts on. Tried to take my I was on a treadmill though. and when I took it off, I felt the handle still there, but then it got stuck on my head. And then the second time it was gone. Then by the third time I was slammed up against the desk. My wife, full of grace, full of mercy, laughed at me like it was something funny. Didn't he ask if I was okay? But I heard that ice crack and I was like, "Oh boy." It's too late to go get the chest waders on, right? Sure enough, to the bottom. And then there's something about cold water that's really cold. You only feel it for a second because things just freeze immediately, right? As soon as it felt those boots. And it could have been a dangerous situation. But my daddy helped me out. It says, "For you died." Wow. Just say your eulogy to your old self. Say, "Good riddance." Put that junk away. Just put all that stuff away. Walk in the newness of Him. Be alive in yourself. Is there something wrong with that? See, I want to be marked by my joy. I want to be marked that I have the very essence of the Father in me and His peace. That I'm asleep at the bottom of the boat, even though when the toughest trial of my life is coming, I can take a nap, curl up, snore as loud as I want to. And see, you got to watch out because the people around you be like, "Hey, hey," like you're irresponsible or something. No, I'm just resting. God got a word. It's all right. See, it's all right for Layla back there. I love it. I love that she's not glorifying cancer. She stood up here and served. And you've inspired me today. It says, "For you died and your life is hidden," where? "With Christ in God." Get in your strong tire and just stay there. Quit pacing back and forth, stressing over the things of life. Get in the strong tire. Just stay there. Enjoy life. If you enjoy life, you enjoy Jesus because He's the way, the truth, and the life. "When Christ, who is our life," whoa, what timing, "then you will also appear with Him in glory." Amen. Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Start at verse 6. Is reading a lot of scripture okay with you guys? Because certainly, I'll be honest, I'm a very auditory learner. I listen to hours of sermons, hours of teaching. I love it. I like to meditate a lot too. In the shower, going down the road. It's just me. I'm not as a big music lover as some of you guys are. I can drive hours without the radio even being turned on. It's just me. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you loving music. The Word of God is powerful. So reading a lot of it is not a bad thing. Verse 6. I hope your eyes are popping open this day. I do. I just do, because this stuff, it gets exciting when you see who you are. When you know that you're the righteousness of God. When you know that royalty is running through your veins and you're the part of the royal priesthood, the chosen people, the special people. It's good and exciting to know that He loves you extravagantly. It's good to know. It's good to know. It's exciting to know. Amen? It says, for when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man somebody would even dare to die. So here's God's response to sin. But God demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were what? Reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from the many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, hear me close this morning, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The Amplified says they will reign as kings in this life. Kings in this life. Doesn't mean people bow down to you when you walk in, sashay into the workplace. It means that there's nothing that should ever overtake you, that you should have the ruling thought, because 1 Corinthians 2 says you have the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever situation you're in, you can rule in that situation because it's not ruling you. But do we think like this? Or do we need to grow up this way? We should be the most happy, joyous people on the planet. Amen. But we're failing to see who we really are. And through that working through us. Come on, guys. Look what He's done for you. You've been known since the foundations of the world. Excuse me, but you wasn't a night of heated passion and a mistake. Maybe you had parents that didn't quite see what they should have saw in life. Doesn't mean you're a mistake. Doesn't mean you have to live out their failures. You can still love them and appreciate for all that they had done. Maybe you don't. But you could be changed today. Because when you come to Christ and you get in Him, He puts a new heart in you. And you become a new creation in Him. And old things, they pass away. And behold, all things become new. You become so new that the Bible says that we should look like foreigners and aliens in this life. I don't want to look like a speck of the world. But yet I grew up because we've been taught very well the way that seems right unto man. And nobody taught me these principles. And I'll take the blame for myself because I had the Bible in my house and I could have studied it on my own. I'm not going to blame anybody in my past. But guess what? The past is in my rearview mirror. I'm going to enjoy today. So what I've missed and what I didn't do and what I failed at, that is behind me. I'm pressing on to something better today. I'm pressing on towards someone better. And you know what? I don't have to press to Him because He's in me. Glory to God. Let's wrap this thing up this way. Jim, if you don't mind, if you just want to strum, if you want, it's up to you, Layla. Romans 12 tells us that we need not to be conformed to this world. It says, but by the renewing of our mind, we understand the perfect will of God, the pleasurable will of God. Let's get our minds right, essentially. Let's get our mind to righteousness thinking. Let's quit looking at ourselves as less than. Let's quit looking at ourselves of how we grew up and what people say to us and say over us. Let's quit letting our failures potter us. Let's quit looking at the stress. And let some of you probably right now today, you may already be thinking about the work week and you got the pressure to perform and you got all this stuff and you're acting like Martha. There's a story in the Bible where two sisters, Jesus shows up. Martha and Mary. Martha's up sweeping and cleaning because she felt the pressure. Oh, the house has got to be spotless. And Mary sat at the feet of our Savior and just rested. Right? Jesus commended the one, Mary, that sat at His feet and just rested. And He told Martha, you're troubled about many things. This is the good. What if you're believing God for something this morning? Just rest. Let it go. Just rest. I know this is hard, but listen to me. You fretting over your children is not going to help the situation. And I'm not saying that you don't have care and concern and your whole desire is to see them return to Jesus. But you have a word over them. Rest. Rest. Because God can do way more than you can worrying about it day in and day night and making yourself miserable. You understand my heart here. I know it's a touchy subject. I know that you venture into those things, it can be very touchy and sensitive because people believe that they're not worrying, they're not caring. Let that go. Worry doesn't add anything to it. It doesn't add anything to your life. But all it does is will create psychological and physiological problems. Jesus wants you free. So if you want to stand this morning with me. Just begin to worship. Just start thanking Him for what He's done. It didn't look like I went real long, but it didn't have to be. There's no set determination of how long the sermon should be. See, that's where we think. We gotta get out of here at a certain time or whatever. I'm in no rush, I'm in no hurry, but we don't have to belabor anything either. Let's just rest and let God move here for a few minutes, amen? Just enjoy His presence. Smile when you look at Him. Reflect Him right now. Just smile and enjoy. Anybody in here dealing with a headache? Raise your hand if you're dealing with a headache. I'm going to ask some people to get around them. I need some prayer warriors today. I need some people who are willing to get out. Raise your hand real high if you're dealing with a headache, okay? Come on, look around. People, guess what? Listen. What is inside of you, the fullness. If you think it's got to be a routine where they come up here and I touch them, we're getting it off. You carry. Father, we just command right now every headache to cease. We just command it right now. You command it out of there. You're not being arrogant. You're not being prideful. Peter wasn't being prideful, saying, I'll give you what I have. Wave your hand if God starts to touch you. If you start seeing, feeling that headaches release right now in Jesus' name. If you start feeling those headaches release, wave your hand just as a testimony of God's grace. I draw.